Welcome to the Exploring Unschooling podcast. I'm Pam Larickia, unschooling mom and author, bringing you interviews, information, and inspiration about unschooling and living joyfully with your family. You can find the episode show notes, your free Exploring Unschooling ebook, and lots more information at livingjoyfully.ca. And here's the show. Hello, everyone. I'm Pam Larickia, and this is episode number 34 of the podcast. It's the 23rd of August, 2016, as I record this intro. And we have another Q&A episode. Anne Oman and Anna Brown join me to answer your questions. We talk about doubts that creep back in as school starts up, doubts that creep in as children get closer to the age of 18, wishing a teen would leave school, and the lure of school for younger kids. And remember, if you'd like to submit a question, just go to livingjoyfully.ca/podcast and click on the link. For an update this week, it's been a pretty even-keeled week. I'm happily working away, writing, planning, organizing, all sorts of fun stuff. Lissy arrived last Thursday and moved on quickly Friday morning to go visit a friend of hers in another city. She'll be back in a couple of days, and Michael has a couple of days off coming up later this week, so we've been playing with the possibilities there. It'll definitely be fun to see where that leads. Now, this week's quote comes from the episode, from Anna Brown. She said, "Worrying about the future takes us out of this moment." Now, I chose this one because it represents the theme that seemed to be running through the questions this month. To live in the moment. You'll hear that play out as you listen. Whether it's the fear that bubbles up as we're reminded that our choices are very unconventional, or wishing that our children would make different choices, or envisioning how our children's outlook today will persist far into the future, it all takes us away from actively engaging with them in this moment. And we miss so much when that happens. Now, if you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, just head on over to livingjoyfully.ca/podcast and share in the comments for episode 34. And now, on to the questions. Welcome to another Q&A episode. I'm Pam Larickia from livingjoyfully.ca, and I'm happy to be joined again by Anne Oman and Anna Brown. Hi to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got a number of questions lined up for today, so let's get started. Would you like to start us off, Anna?
Sure. Okay, so question one was submitted anonymously. I have been unschooling for a year and am loving it. Though my doubts and fears are creeping back since everyone around me is starting school again, I am a beginning D-schooler and can't help to want to be in step ahead in regards to what I can do to help my son in the future. I was wondering if you had any insight in starting a student digital portfolio. I have been keeping pictures of things my son does on Evernote, but wondered if I should do something else on top of this. The year he was born, I bought his first and last name.com domain. I plan to give it to him as a gift when he's a young adult. I figured that is the future and that it will be a good idea to reserve it should he need it as an adult. Oh, and by the way, my son is only 6 years old. Ha ha. I may be overthinking this. Laugh out loud.
Well, maybe just a little. I prefer to take the approach of living in the moment and making each moment count and just focusing on that. And suddenly then I have a day full of wonderful moments and then a week and a month and a year and a lifetime, because I just really feel like worrying about the future takes us out of this moment. So we miss the only thing that we really know that we have. I do, however, enjoy taking pictures. I take pictures of the joy and beauty in our lives all the time. But I've not really cataloged anything for the purposes of unschooling. I found that when my girls were young, if I started to think along those lines of categorizing and subjects and that kind of thing, it really colored our interactions, and I didn't want that. You know, I really wanted us to choose things because they spark joy, not because they might check a box on an imaginary list. And looking back, you know, it's amazing to think of all the rabbit holes and exploration that led to new places, discoveries, passions, interests, all along the way. It really is a very natural flow, I found. So while people are stressing about the first week of school, smile and enjoy the lazy morning or the trip to the park or savor the time and space to be together and explore the world. I feel like that's one of the many, many gifts of unschooling. Yeah. Anne?
I do love how you are laughing at yourself with your haha and LOL also and about overthinking it. And I have the same thing, Anna. I fear you're losing this very moment with your son because of your overthinking. I had written down overthinking equals not present in this moment. Mm-hmm. I did a talk at the 2008 Live and Learn Unschooling Conference that was called Get Out of Your Head and Into the Moment. And Anna actually gave me the title to that talk because I had called her up and told her how something was going wrong with the talk. I didn't have anything to talk about. And she's like, you need to get out of your head and into the moment. So I'm like, that's it. So I feel like you're doing what school does. You're saying, my child may need this in the future, so I need to prepare him by doing this. And I've been known to call that hijacking one's beingness, only because people have done that to me, and that's what it feels like. You're already paving a path for him instead of allowing his own life to show him the way. You know, his own desires, his passions, his interests, his likes, his dislikes, his fears and joys. Those things are his very beingness. And if you're envisioning something that you all may need in the future, then you're steering his course, and that's how you may be hijacking his beingness. We obviously don't want to be doing that. I often say that I am a student of my child, and with that I mean that I get to know them pretty damn well by being fully present with him throughout his days, learning everything about him. And as Anna was saying, it just flows beautifully from there. And because I am a great student of who he is, I have a deep trust in his life. I have a deep trust in my ability to provide him with whatever it is he will need in his life. But to project into the future is to cheat him out of this present moment. As Anna said, I have the exact words, that's all we really have. That's all we really know, what he is doing and what he is excited about right now. And also, my family and I have found this to be true, that when one follows their interests, their questions, their answers, their passions, then the doors open up where you may not have even known there were doors. That is a quote that I stole. Who said that quote? That's not a Joseph Campbell quote, is it? No.
I don't think so.
Anyway, so if you're a step ahead of him, holding a door open for him that you think he may need to go through in the future, he's going to miss his own doors that were created by his own beingness. He's going to see you at that door, and he's going to think that's where he needs to go instead of listening to, trusting in, and following his own perfect instincts, his own perfect path, his interests, his likes, and his dislikes. So my thought when I first read your question is you don't need to be a step ahead of him at all. You need to be by his side, basically holding the lantern for him as he explores his own path, ready to join him, joining him in his joy and his life, and building up trust in that.
My turn. I loved your energy. I thought that was it's awesome enthusiasm, and I love that you can laugh at yourself a bit. I think that's terrific. And again, just to be sure to ask yourself that you're meta thinking about this whole process and projecting it into the future is not stopping you from engaging with your son right now in this moment, as Anne and Anna have mentioned. I do think it's cool to document your child's days in whatever ways appeal to you. I don't know where you live. Maybe it might help you if you need to do some annual reporting. But again, focus on doing that documentation for your own pleasure. Pictures, writing, whatever excites you, just to be able to look back on your child's life and enjoy it, rather than thinking of organizing it in a way to be a step ahead. Now, whether Anne's description, no, Anna's about being a step ahead of your son, were great. I was wondering if you were thinking maybe a step ahead of the other of other kids his age, but that motivation is a clue that you're still comparing your son's days against a yardstick of other kids rather than appreciating them on their own. And I love that idea that, you know, when we, it's really nice to try and think ahead and anticipate things for our children so that we can surprise them and be ready for the next thing they might ask for. But if we start kind of counting on it and planning it, then as Anne said, children often follow their parents rather than looking for their own doors, their own interests, and you lose so much. And it's just amazing where our kids will actually take us when we give them that space and that room and that support to find their doors. So I think that's really cool. Anne, do you want to do the next question?
I would love to. The next question is from Forrest. My 17-year-old daughter's dream is to just be the best gamer. She has had unlimited use of screens since her adoption from Cambodia in 2001, when Game Boys were the thing. I provided her with the latest versions of Game Boys as they advanced to two screens, then iPods, iPads, gaming computers. She has built a mega computer with multiple screens, learned on her own with assistance from Google. She has traveled to Hawaii to spend time with a gaming teen she met online, and they have a deep sisterly connection. My question would be, how do I, at 73, not worry about the unlikelihood of her getting a paying job by gaming when I realize the market is flooded? I am not chewing my nails over this, but the worry is lurking. Hi, Forrest. Your daughter sounds wonderful, and I hear your concerns, and I also want to give you a big hug for all of the trust and love you've obviously given to her already. Being 73, I hear your concerns even deeper with her wanting to have her future secure. Keep on doing what you've been doing, giving her trust and love that you have been doing. And you can validate her and encourage her and nurture her dream to be the best gamer. It sounds like she's doing fantastic on her path to doing that. She's, you know, feeling really good about that, obviously. And again, like in our last question, it's really important that you don't lose sight of this moment. I've said this before about worry. It's simply creating in your head unwanted circumstances in the future. And doesn't that seem really unnecessary when we see the truth of what it is? You're creating unwanted circumstances somehow in the future. It's not only unnecessary, it's really a huge detriment to your relationship and to her unschooling life. Because unschooling is based on trust. And that's what I said in the last question also. So when you do start to worry, perhaps see that simply as something that's trying to get you back into the present moment with your daughter and her life right now. Take a look at her. What is she like right now? How does she feel? Is she lighting up with joy? My goodness, it sure sounds like it from what you are saying to us. And that's where your focus needs to be. Because that's where you build the trust, and not just the trust in her as a person, but the trust in the flow of her life, because it's coming from her own joy, her instincts, her interests, and her passions. We're all here to follow that which we are drawn to following, and she is bringing something completely unique to her passion that only she can bring to it. And not only that, if you look at all the amazing things she is doing along the way, she's traveling, she's developing amazing connections and a community of people who shares her interest. She is learning and learning and learning. And it's an area that's only going to grow exponentially throughout the years. There will be more opportunities available than we can imagine in this area. And also because her world is so large and her life is so free, that she can follow her own path, she will most likely come across a connection and have, from all of her wonderful connections, get a paying job from any extension from her life that she's living. My boys are 25 and 22, and every job they've had so far has been because of them following what they want to do and making connections and community, and people have known who they are and what they are capable of, and a job has opened up, not only opened up for them, but sometimes they have not even needed to seek out a job. It's come to them. But honestly, putting all of that aside, the truth is that right now in this moment, those things don't matter. I made a meme last week for my Shine with Unschooling Facebook page that has a quote on it that I had said in one of my conference talks. It says, "Perhaps nothing is more important in my unschooled child's life than this. Every idea, everything that my child's heart has been drawn to for all of his life has been deeply respected, taken seriously, nurtured, and encouraged without a single thought as to where it may lead someday, but simply because it brings my child so much joy in this moment." And that's what trust is, getting caught up in your child's joy, in your child's path, in your child's direction that each foot is taking at every moment, and gathering evidence from her joys of yesterday and where they brought her and what doors and opportunities they opened up for her. And just taking that all in and saying, yes, I see you here in this moment. I see what you're loving. I'm here to assist you and be with you because I trust in you. I think that this will become even more necessary as she becomes 18 and 19 and 20 and everybody else starts pursuing college or getting paid jobs. You know, you may feel more pressure for her to be doing something that feels more substantial to you. And I've found that allowing our kids the safety and freedom to continue to live and do things in their own time and learn and expand in their own way just takes such a precedence over all of society's ideas that they need to get out of the house and go to college or get a job. They have all of their lives to have paying jobs. So all of this, again, circles back around to you, releasing your fears, filling yourself up to the brim with her amazing shine and trusting in that shine, trusting in the fact that all will be well and the right doors will open when she's ready for them to open to her. So bring it back home again, focus on this moment, and join her in her amazing shining space.
I don't actually have to answer now, do I?
I'm thinking maybe
I think you kind of covered it. But I will echo some of those pieces. I think, you know, your daughter's age is definitely, you know, part of the trigger as she's reaching young adulthood. Those conventional pressures, even when we haven't thought about them for years, they start coming again because the messages start coming in. People start asking what they're doing for this next stage, et cetera. And those fears, I think, often kind of give us tunnel vision, right? They close up what we see. So if maybe, Forrest, you can remind yourself all those varied places that her dream of being the best gamer, as I mentioned, have already taken her, you know, the experience with a wide range of technology, building her own computer, traveling, friendships, connections. Look at all those different things that branch just from her concentration and focus on that singular goal. So now take that, and instead of that tunnel vision, open up your imagination even and apply that to her transitioning at some point, whenever she's ready, into that world of paid work that you're getting all those messages from. And imagine all the possibilities that exist related to that huge topic of just gaming, because there's just so many ways that she might go from there. And what's really cool is she's going to continue attacking all those things with the same gusto that you've already seen, that same determination. When you think of it, yes, the market may be flooded, but that's because there's a voracious audience there waiting. And she sounds like a wonderfully tenacious person who won't be deterred by having lots of other people. You know, I suspect a lot of those other people will drop out when things get challenging because, you know, they're not used to pursuing their dreams with gusto. So I think maybe that can help you open up your view a little bit and get past the fear, hopefully. And I wish her all the best. She sounds amazing. Anna?
I mean, again, just kind of echoing to a certain extent, but some practicalities too, because the reality of there are so many jobs in the gaming field. I think it's really hard for a lot of people to even fathom how many jobs there are. And the skills learned in gaming translate so well to all areas. So this is incredibly rich, valuable time that she's spending with something she loves. And we don't even know where that's going to lead her. And that's why I like Anne's, like, let's just focus on right here, what's in front of us, and look at what she's doing. I have also seen over and over again in our community that the quote unlikely happens all the time. And we have really big examples on national television, and we have wonderful examples in small communities all over the U.S. So, I mean, it happens all the time. And when we look specifically at the gaming question, I think it's interesting because the unschooled child who has the time to focus on gaming is at a huge advantage. My friend's son just came in third at U.S. Nationals for Pokken Tournament, which is a Pokemon game for the Wii. And he'll be going to Worlds this weekend. The time he's able to devote clearly helps with mastery. You know, most other kids are having to squeeze it in after school, or they're dealing with, like, you know, arbitrary limits set by their parents. And I think that's why we see so many, quote, extraordinary accomplishments in our community, because maybe it's not even so extraordinary. It just is what happens when someone is given the time to pursue their passions with abandon, be that passion, cooking, photography, music, art, engineering, or gaming. Time is the friend of mastery, and that is something that we can protect and offer our children. So that's my thoughts on
it. Fantastic. I love that.
I know, time.
So true, nice. And it was wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, question three is from Floor. She writes, I live in France with my husband, who is American, and I'm a mother of a wonderful two-year-old, unschooled-to-be son. I have a question regarding a place I take him to, a place that he loves, but which is located in a nursery or kindergarten. It consists of a two-mornings-a-week session open to kids and parents from birth to 6 years old. Kids play there and have a lot of fun. There's no curriculum or programming involved, but it does take place inside of a school building. What is concerning is that my son now associates this place with school. When we walk by during the week and he sees other kids playing outside, he wants to go to school and play with them. Is it a good idea to take him to such a place? I really don't know what to do because on one hand, he loves it. He meets friends, I meet parents, and it's a nice atmosphere. But on the other hand, I don't want to give him a taste of something he's not going to have. Could you help me with this question? That's definitely an interesting question, Floor, and I can understand that right now he's associating the fun play group with school because it's happening in a school building. That's logical. But he's only two. He's going to learn and grow and change so much between now and when he's six. So be careful not to project his two-year-old thoughts into his six-year-old body, because that's where fears and worries can take over and cloud the picture, as we've been talking about before. Fears and worries projected into the future really get in the way of seeing and understanding what's going on now. If he loves it, it's a nice atmosphere, and you're enjoying meeting other parents, it sounds wonderful. Enjoy it for today. You know, maybe 6 months from now, he may no longer enjoy going. Or 12 months from now, it may be canceled. So many other things may happen. You can't predict that what's going to happen with that group any more than you can know that when your son is six, he's going to insist on going to school because he went to a play group when he was two. So yeah, just try and keep your focus in the moment, in the present. Enjoy this wonderful situation that you have with him now. And don't worry about, you know, he's going to have so many new impressions about what's going on as he gets older and older. So try not to get yourself stuck in that moment. Anna?
Yeah, so I agree, and I am seeing the theme of live in the moment. I know we talk about it all the time, but it really seems to be coming strong and during this Q&A. And so, yes, I think it's focus on right now. And I would follow his lead. If this is something he enjoys and you enjoy it, you know. But you might at the same time also look for other ways to, you know, hang out with friends and play and do in lots of different environments in your town to find out what works for both of you. And then he's seeing it, and you are too in a variety of different ways. So there isn't just one way. We're not only seeing friends on the two mornings a week at the school, just like, you know, I think it's, we have this, that a lot of kids that are in school think we just learn at school. But, you know, with our kids, we're learning all the time at midnight and 3 a.m. when you wake up with a weird question, or, you know, in the car on the way to something. And so I think as he gets older, seeing this rich environment that you're providing, it will just flow more easily. There's just no way to predict for sure. So back to the moment of enjoying a 2-year-old, which is so fun because they love everything and they love to explore. I love 2-year-olds. So.
Okay, I have to tell you what's in my head after listening to everybody. Okay. One of those cartoons, like when you see what two different people are picturing and thinking, and it's completely different. Floor, you said, I don't want to give him a taste of something he's not going to have. So what he's seeing, what he's having is a really fun time, you know, at this place. And what you're seeing that he's not going to have is school. But all he's seeing is that it's a really fun time. So that's not happening, what you're saying. When you say, don't want to give him a taste of something he's not going to have, he's going to have a lot of fun times. And that's all he's seeing it as right now. And that's fantastic. And as they said, as we've been saying, you just keep following that. And oh my gosh, you won't even believe all the shifts that will happen to have that fear completely leave your head at some point, because there's so many other things coming into your lives and all wonderful because you are following him and his joy. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's such a great point, because you do want him to have, you know, going forward, what he has now, if he's, you know, enjoying it, having fun, making friends. Yeah,
that's to be in a school. And that's the one word you can put in there. It's at the school. It's not at school. It's at the school. It's in a school. You know what I mean? That's a big difference.
Yeah, like Lissy's Girl Guide meetings were at a school in a gym.
Right.
You know, you may in the future have other activities that he enjoys. They just happen to be located in that spot. Mm-hmm. Okay, Anna, you're next, right?
Okay, yes. So we have question 4, which was also anonymously submitted. The writer of question 4 gave us lots of details about her family, and the 3 of us have read all of it, but I'm going to summarize the first part for the podcast time considerations, but it was lovely to read about each of her children. The writer is a single mom of 3 girls aged 10, 12, and 14. The 14-year-old has chosen to be in school. The younger girls are unschooling, but still in the deschooling process. They seem to be enjoying their time deschooling. They all have a lovely connection and many passions. And here is the question portion of her submission. My question would be, how do I get my 14-year-old to relax some and make time for herself to explore something else? When I suggest unschooling because she's already anxious about how overloaded she knows she's going to be in public high school, her 8th grade year was so busy we barely saw her head out of her books, and she worked very hard on so much stuff that she just had to memorize to test well. This created a wedge between all of us with her because it was overwhelming for her in addition to the uncharted territory of my first teenager in the house. I don't want to lose her again for all of that nonsense. I want her to learn on her own. She's so driven and interesting and interested in everything, mainly theater, and I've explained that I'd do whatever needed to help her put serious energy into that passion, as well as any other she has. I think the system has scared her from leaving. Local families had a hard time digesting that my middle daughter was unschooling. What does she do all day? How does she learn? I worry too many derogatory comments got into my eldest's head. Plus, we live in a very competitive, affluent community. I'm swimming against a riptide here. I want her home away from the influence of the rat race to nowhere. We watched the race to nowhere. She's on the fence. It's obvious, just afraid to hop down on her sister's side. I want to be more connected with her, and I fear the intense overload she's heading for is going to have an adverse effect. I'm a very joyful, positive, happy 48-year-old, just wanting to savor the time we have here on this planet, minimalist and never a follower of the herd. So, you know, there was a lot in the original pieces about the family, but also in the question, and I don't know that there's one simple cut and dry answer, but I feel like she's being really clear about what she wants, and for now it's to be in school. if you feel like there's a fear piece that's, you know, affecting her decision, then maybe think about some different exposures, like unschooling conferences, meeting other unschooling families, talking to other unschooled teens. There are books like The Teenage Liberation Handbook or things by Blake Bowles. College Without High School comes to mind if she's interested in college, and he has some other ones. And then she can see that there's people all over the world choosing a variety of paths to get to different places. And so then she can kind of maybe be choosing what works best for her instead of being believing that there's only this one path. But I feel like she knows you aren't a fan of school. And even in the face of that, she's still making that choice. So I would just look to keep things open, look for ways to connect and support her. Because that takes you out of the equation in that she isn't having to defend school to you. You can be a partner and a confidant, leaving her open to making the best decisions for herself. You know, keeping that connection open really for me would be the priority, because it'll help you get through whatever comes next. And I think if you're, you know, oh, this is a waste of time. Oh, why are you doing this? Oh, this is, you know, that kind of negativity, then she's having to defend something. And my guess is she has some of those thoughts on her own, but I think it's human nature that when we get backed into a corner, we just kind of defend, even if we don't maybe not necessarily believe what we're defending. It's just kind of this gut response. And so I think if you can back off from that and just be supportive of her journey, it'll give her time to really think about, okay, you know, how does this work? And, oh, this actually reminds me of a story about Pam, but maybe I won't say it because I don't know what you're going to say, Pam, but I may chime back in with it because it was important in the same way. But, okay, so I'll end there.
On that cryptic note.
Exactly.
Yeah, I loved hearing about your family, and I agree with Anna, of course. I hear what you're saying, and I feel like you're desire for your daughter to unschool against her wishes is probably doing as much harm as someone sending a child to school against their wishes. I love how you say you don't want to lose her again and you want to be more connected to her. Oh my gosh, my heart just when you said you don't want to lose her again. I feel that. But make sure you're not pushing her away by continuing to put something in front of her that she doesn't want to do right now. Even more than that, jump into why she wants to be in school. Completely validate the reasons why she wants to be in school. Let her know you understand her perspective. At her age, maybe she's afraid. Obviously, you say you live in this area where people are questioning you. So her school peers are doing the same, I'm sure. And I'm sure that's a big fear of hers. I thought of the same thing Anna did about gathering unschoolers. You know, if you know unschoolers, hanging out with them, an unschooling conference is a great way to just show her, not that you're trying to convince her, but this is for your path also because you are on the unschooling path. The energy of unschooling conferences is really amazing. Families tend to have much more respectful, joyful interactions with each other than the school people. And she would feel that energy difference probably. I'm just remembering, I think the Live and Learn conference, God, I don't know what year it was, maybe 2005 or 2003. There was a teenager there and her family wanted to go to the unschooling conference to explore it. And her younger brother was interested and she was not. And she walked around clutching her school books at the conference. I remember walking by her in the hallway. She was sitting on the floor, just clutching onto her school books. And she, it was the conference, just the people there and the energy that she wanted to be a part of. And now she has a beautiful life, making a living, living her passion, and is a strong unschooling advocate also. But again, that's not where you want to project and end up. I'm just talking about this one example. It's all where your daughter is. And the other thing I suggest is to live a definition of an unschooling life with her, even though she's in school, you know, have this connection with her, with what she loves to do when in her shine, get in there with her and collect information on theater groups. And maybe unschoolers have a theater group. Go see live theater with her. Ask her if she wants to just skip a day of school to see a show with you or something. This to offer all this stuff also might take some time for you to build up trust in her also, so she's not thinking that you're still trying to get her out of school. You know, once you validate that she does want to be in school and you understand that, then you can start with these other approaches. And really, there's a way to do school in an unschooly way, because you know the truth of it, she knows the truth of it, and as long as she understands that she's playing a game by being in school, you know, that's even better, to be an unschooler and to choose school. So basically, don't push her away by focusing on what you want. Understand her desires and perspective, and also just, she'll be handed little pieces of what an unschooled life looks like, because that's what you're living with your other children.
Yeah, that's
very cool. A couple things before I forget. I know this question was submitted a little while ago, so it was before the recent episode I did with Alex Polakowski. That's episode number 32. And we talked a lot about unschooling principles and ways to actively support a child who is choosing to go to school. So you might want to listen to that. Check that out. The other thing that popped up was, I just wanted to emphasize when Anne mentioned helping her continue to pursue her interests even while she's in school. Don't kind of hold her current interests hostage, as in, you know, if you came home and you unschooled, we could do all these fun things that you want to pursue. I know she's busy with school, but if she knows you're still trying to help her figure out ways to do all these things, like school is, say, an interest of hers, if you treat it that way, and theater is an interest, and, you know, all the other things that she enjoys doing. So open up instead of getting caught in that school, no school question. I think that will be one of the biggest things right up front, is finding ways to connect with your daughter. Don't think, oh, she's going to school, I'm going to lose my connection with her. It doesn't need to be that way. Yes, you've got less hours in the day that you're spending with her, but those don't need to break your connection. It's not one or the other. You can continue to stay connected with her. Meet her where she is without that overlay that you have of wishes for her. You know, you're wanting to get her to relax. You can't get her to do anything. You can be supportive of her choices for school. I talked about that with Alex. Don't be calling school nonsense, you know, and belittling her choices, because yes, it's human nature to feel defensive when someone is dissing something that you're choosing. And so even if you can just relax that pressure on her, she will feel that. She will feel you being behind her instead of trying to convince her to take a different path. And when that falls away and she's starting to feel fully supported, even when she's including school in the picture right now, that's when she'll start to feel like it's really her choice, that she'll be able to start to consider what it is that she's getting out of the experience and start really weighing that with the consequences, the pressure, the time, those kinds of things. But right now, I don't think she can take that all in and feel like she's making a free choice. Right now, if she chooses to leave school, that's about making you happy, not about making herself happy. So I think if you can get there first and, yeah, just live, you know, don't hide your unschooling life from her. Try and live both of them happily side by side.
And include her in it. And that's, I want to go back to the validation point, because we talked about this in one of the previous Q&A episodes. I brought up about radical validation, and parents are so afraid that if they validate a child's desires and needs that the parents don't understand or think they don't want in the house, you know, that the shit will hit the fan, and it will be, you know, it'll get worse and worse and worse. They'll be like, hi, you know, you said school was great and everything. That's not what we're doing here. Her need to be deeply seen for why she wants to be in school. And even if it's a fear that's holding her there, that is really difficult for teenagers to articulate, especially if, again, you're saying trying to get her out of school, and she, you know, maybe she doesn't feel safe to voice her fear about leaving, and then maybe she doesn't feel there's a safe space to voice her desires, what she is getting out of school, like Pam was saying. You know, that's really, to see it from her perspective is the most important thing you can do first of all at this time. And from there, you know, you'll have to build up trust again, and it'll come as long as you are on her side and she can feel that you are authentically on her side with whatever she chooses. And while you're doing that, again, as we said, live your unschooling life and have her join in, because you are one family supporting each other. That's what it's all about.
Did I hit what you were thinking of, Anna?
No, I mean, it's a story from a while ago, but, and it applies to this and it applies to other things, but it was basically when Lissy first told you she wanted to move to New York City, you know, and she was what, 17, 18 at the time. Well, you know, like a natural reaction is kind of like, oh my gosh, that's another country, that's a giant city, you know, what, you know, and but you were able to say, you know what, I can just be here and sit with this and be supportive of this. And it gave her the freedom. What I loved about the exchange was, like, it gave her the freedom to then come to you and say, but what about this? You know, do you think I'd like this part, or do you think I'd like that, or do you think this would be hard? You know, she was able to come to you with those things instead of you going, can you do that? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so it just really changes that dynamic, and you became that partner, which of course you've always been, but, you know, just for this example, for other people to just see, like, that's how it works. Like, then you're the partner. Whereas I think if Pam had gone in with the, you're too young, that's another country, we can't do that, we're never for that, whatever the things might have been, the blocks, then she would have been like, yes, I can, dee, dee, dee. And you see, like, this defense and also this separation. And so that's the beauty of the exchange that we're talking about, like that deep validation of, you want to be in New York City, you want to be in public high school, I see you, I hear you, I'm here to support you, even if it's something that we don't understand. So yeah, that was that.
Yeah, I was telling somebody this past weekend that about our unschooling life and how, like, when difficulties come up, we're kind of like, you know, or I mean, when a child becomes dissatisfied with something, and our take on it is, mm-hmm. oh, that's great, what's this showing us? You know what I mean? And it's the same with they like something. Our response is, that's great, let's look into this, let's see how you can do this, you know, instead of, oh God, you know.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I remember that now. it was such a huge thing, because, you know, at first you have all these things swimming around, like you, the questioner does, you know, she has all these reasons why she doesn't think her daughter should be in school. And I had all those reasons why my 17-year-old, was thinking of doing this. It scared the crap out of me, you know. Yeah. But realizing, you know what, we have time, you know, there is always time in our days. And just letting it sit, because then they get to let it sit. They get to think about it. They get to do, you know, and now she has all those skills for investigating, for considering, mm-hmm. there's a better word, for considering a big choice like that. And so she'll be able to take those skills and move them forward into the next big choice and the next big choice. And I swear, everything I was worried about, she ended up coming to me and we would have conversations about it, you know. And then once we were deep in conversations, I would bring, you know, more of my points. But I swear, in the end, she thought of all of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the last question. Would you like to read that?
I would love to. It's from Jennifer, and she says, hi, we have two daughters, Talia, age 4, and Naomi, 16 months. We have been toying with the idea of unschooling for a while now, and I'm excited by the possibilities. However, we wanted to check out the local public school and took Talia to the open house. She was enthralled and, of course, wants to go to school and be there with all the other kids, where all the other kids are. I fear, there's that word again, she may resent us for keeping her away, and yet my husband feels that as parents we are responsible to make the decision based on her best interests. How do we decide as a family? We've had many conversations with Talia about homeschooling and what it could look like, including being involved in extracurriculars she is interested in, like gymnastics, soccer, singing lessons. She also enjoyed a half-day summer camp for a week recently, and we explained that these sort of activities would be like school for her. She loves all these things, and we only put her in activities she has shown she likes, and she wants to be there. And yet she maintains she wants to go to public school. When asked why, her response was, "I like the snacks. We saw the school kids having their lunch during the open house." Given her limited understanding of what school truly is and our responsibility as parents to help her thrive, I'm unsure about giving her complete autonomy over this decision. However, that seems to go against unschooling philosophy of letting the child lead. I would love your insight and advice. Hi, Jennifer. I love that you are excited about the possibilities of unschooling. And I had to look back as I was reading this out loud and make sure Tally was only 4, as I had thought she was. Gymnastics, soccer, singing lessons, and wow, she's got such a rich, full life, which is fantastic because it will help you with this. I think it's really sweet that she said she wants to go because she likes the snacks at school. It really does show how the surface of what she was shown at a school open house is not revealing the truth underneath it, nor can a child of 4 years understand all the truth that's beneath. You know, you go to an open house and it's this happy, shiny facade that the school shows to the kids. And they think that this is what it's going to be like. With an older child in this situation, who knows a little more about unschooling and who knows the truth about school, there's the understanding of what they're walking into. And yet a 4-year-old, what does a 4-year-old see? Fun and snacks. And everything about it looked completely different from the life she's living at home. So she's maybe completely fascinated by that idea, which is understandable because kids are natural scientists. She sees something interesting and she wants to learn more about it. Personally, I would go so far myself as to say that it's almost dangerous to allow a child to go to school at that age when you know about unschooling and you want to unschool, mostly because I have known kids who have gone to school that young and it took them years to heal from even the shortest experience with school. A good friend of mine had her child in school for 2 days because he wanted to try it, and he was very traumatized and it took him literally years to get over that. And also, they're handing young, impressionable children the incorrect definition of learning. The place is filled with people who think that that building that they're in is the place that kids need to go to learn everything. And that's just simply not the truth. I would say to distract her with the best damn snacks you can think of at home. And just really focus more on living the unschooling life that you were telling her about. She's 4. She doesn't need a meeting about it. She needs to see proof and evidence in front of her about this fantastic life that, you know, she could be living and you already are living. You know, the snacks, the activities, anything she likes. Most of all, she really needs a deep and meaningful and fun connection and relationship with you. And again, she's 4. It's what we talked about before, that things will come up and life will shift and everything. And I'm wondering if she's even moved on from it by the time we're answering this question.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. If you know, your excitement, enthusiasm is so beautiful. So just start living that life. And if she says the word school, you know, don't bring up the word school again. If she brings up the word school, maybe buy a workbook or something, have it in the house and play around with that, and then move on to the snack again. You know what I mean? It's just going to be so flowing with her that I think you're putting a lot of weight on this decision where the focus should just be your amazing, free, joyful lives.
My turn?
It is your turn, Pam.
Yeah. The one thing that caught my attention, just to mention, is when you talked about at the end about it going against the unschooling philosophy of letting the child lead, I would just wanted to point out that I don't think of unschooling as letting the child lead, because that that phrasing just gives an impression that the parents are sitting back, that they're less involved. Unschooling really is about actively connecting with them and being with them and helping them accomplish her goals. So, I mean, when you actually look at your question and what you said, her goal is those cool snacks, right? So help her enjoy them, as Anne said. Buy them, make them, find similar food, play with them, make snacks at home with her if she's interested that she enjoys even more. You know, use that as your low bar and use that snack comment not as, oh my gosh, you know, we need to keep her away from school, but use it as a great clue to something that she might enjoy, something new and exciting you can bring to her life. And over the next while, you guys can just, as Anne said, don't mention school. You know, if you keep bringing it up and trying to convince her that, oh, but if you don't go to school, this is what we can do. This is what we can do. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Do those things. Because if you keep talking about it, again, we're back to you're going to, there's a good chance that you'll set up a power struggle that you'll both be, you know, locked into and making this whole question of school, not school, way bigger than it really needs to be. Instead, pay attention to her, listen to her, play with her, do those fun things, eat those fun snacks, find what catches her interest next week and the week after that, you know. Maybe she has forgotten about school already, because that is what she's interested in the moment, and satisfy that interest, play with that interest, connect with her over that interest. There is another point about losing interest already. And, you know, the same thing with, we can get so caught up in things being lifelong choices, you know. As she gets older, if you know, and that becomes something that's important to her, you know, it can be a choice that she makes for a while that she can leave. Again, check out episode 32 to talk about that when they're a bit older to understand the kinds of choices that they're making. I totally get how this can feel like a huge, massive, life-changing decision right now. You know, just realize that it's not a forever one. Release the pressure. Stop talking about it, because that kind of stuff is what clouds our vision, which tunnel vision locks us in, rather than creatively seeing the possibilities of all the fun stuff we can do today with them to live their life and make it fun and enjoyable. And, you know, school just kind of drops out of the picture. That's what your goal is anyway. So dive right in with both feet, I think. Anna?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I think, a good sum up of some of the stuff that we've talked about before is actually children are so great at living in the moment. Like, they can really be our guide to that, to bringing us right there. So my guess is she probably has moved on, unless you've continued to bring it up, because it was just something that was interesting. You introduced it to her. Oh, mom took me to this place and they did cool things and they had cool snacks, you know, so I'm interested in that. But oh my gosh, then she's going to be interested in whatever it is that you're exposing to her next and that she's discovering on her own. That's just the beauty of that age. And so I think, again, Pam really hit it. You know, don't have this weight of this decision that's being made for the rest of your life. You know, it was something she saw and moved on and now expose her to other things. And I think you'll find that that kind of diffuses it a bit. You know, that's just kind of my thoughts about it.
Yeah, along those lines of exposing her to other things, that's what I was thinking of along your child-led learning thing. So here's the size of her world where, you know, she's had day camp and she's had these activities that you've seen she's been interested in. But this is why it's not just child-led learning, because now we can expand their world and we can be with them and expand, you know, their definition of life with us and everything. So as when I was talking about her being drawn to school as a science, you know, experiment kind of thing, so expand that to the larger world and fulfill her desires for something unique in that way. Hop on a city bus and go to a children's museum, go to a restaurant with her and order only snacks. You know, there's really cool ways that you can just expand her picture and definition of her world, and that shows the larger world versus the small world of school. It's not like those are the only choices, between school or what she's usually been doing. You know, there's a whole world waiting for you, and it's exciting to me to think of everything that's ahead of you with her being 4 years old.
I know. And something Anne said just really brought something else, and I'm looking back at the question, and it may be just some kind of introspection and for other people listening too to think about. I think a trap that people fall into with kids early on is, for example, a child says, I like ballet. Yes. And the next day they're in ballet lessons. And it's like, really, they might have just liked the pink tutu. They might want to dance with you around the living room. They might have just saw, you know, the neighbor kid walking by. And so and seeing that at four, she's been in gymnastics, soccer, singing lesson, day camp. And I'm just wondering if maybe we have this, because what I think it's interesting about it is it really does teach children that we don't, the learning doesn't come from us. We have to go to a place with an expert that then will teach us. And so maybe just look at a little bit of that and decide, how can we become the explorers again? How can, you know, because that's the beauty of that age. Like, let's explore the world together. And so that they, that gives them the driving seat, you know, to their learning and to their life. And so I just wanted to throw that out there after, and this reminded me of that.
An example of that I have is Sam was interested in karate, and we don't just jump into classes. My kids never really liked classes, but for some reason he did want to explore this. And so I bought him the gi. Is that what it's called? Sam.
Yeah.
And we took him to a class, and oh goodness, the, you know, it's very strict environment and it's nothing that he was used to. And they had him start out running around the place, and I could just see little boy Sammy's face deteriorate into tears. And when they were done running, I took him outside and I said, what do you want to do? And he said, go home. And we got in the car and never went back. And here I, you know, no word that I had prepaid or bought him anything, nothing, just that it was too much too soon. When we got home, I looked on eBay and I found a Power Rangers karate video. And it was perfect because he loved Power Rangers. And, you know, that probably would have been enough for him from the beginning. So exactly. A very good point, Anna.
Yeah. I mean, Michael talked about karate for at least a year before we ended up, he wanted to actually go to a dojo. He, you know, considered it. And he was like 8 or 9 years old at this point, too. You know, when they were younger, they weren't drawn to class kinds, those kinds of environments. And I think I just wanted to emphasize that piece. That's one thing I recommend a lot when people are de-schooling, first learning about unschooling, is at this point when a child expresses an interest in something, I would specifically not for a while jump to a class for it, because you as a parent are just starting to figure out different ways to learn things. And if you jump to the class, you're giving your child the message that the class is the best environment to learn. And it really isn't true. Maybe you haven't de-schooled enough to see all the other possibilities, but this is the perfect time to challenge yourself to come up with more creative ways to satisfy that interest. I mean, maybe down the road, a more formal environment is where you end up, but it's not the first place you need to step.
I want to go back to the brilliant word you thought of, talking about Lissy, considering, and you used it again with Michael, and it is very appropriate for our unschooled kids, I believe, because they are such thoughtful and authentic considerators.
I love it.
Because they have this wonderful life, this wonderful free life that is respected and they're seen. And, you know, so anything outside of that, my kids always took, you know, great consideration to before they went to anything. And most of the time we did not do outside classes or groups or anything because they valued their own space. They didn't want to hand anything over. They valued, you know, owning things themselves. And that's huge. That's huge for our unschooled kids, that they know this, that they own their time and they own their decisions and they don't want to hand that over. And, you know, my boys being 22 and 25, they still know this, and it just serves them greater and greater every year that they grow and get older and the decisions get more substantial. It's something that they carry. And I love that thought of them being the amazing considerators. I think I need to invent that word.
Write that one down. And that, on that note, that is a great place for us to finish up for the month. I want to thank you both so very much for answering questions with me. You're awesome, and it's always great to chat about unschooling with you. Just a reminder for our listeners that there are links in the show notes for anything that we mentioned in the episode. And as always, if you'd like to submit a question for the Q&A show, just go to livingjoyfully.ca/podcast and click on the link. Wishing everyone a great day. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at livingjoyfully.ca/podcast. And if you'd like to immerse yourself in unschooling ideas and inspiration with a group of like-minded parents, check out childhoodredefined.com for information about the Childhood Redefined Unschooling Summit. It's being held in Bethany Beach, Delaware, October 19th to the 21st, hosted by me and Ann Ullman. Registration is now open until September 16th. Have a great day!